Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know about you guys, but it's beginning to look like it may be possible, maybe, that the 2019 Red Sox season will not be as successful as 2018. Just an idle thought, not a lot of empirical evidence to back up such a specious claim, except for the being 8.5 games out with 41 games to go and running on a conveyor belt of banana peels ever since late July. 12 losses in their last 15, with one other game still pending. This one Monday night in Cleveland really hurt, but we're here to break it down because this is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox.
Been throwing a lot of old music references at you guys lately, so I'll do it again. 40 years ago, the band Boston was known for the lyric "More Than a Feeling." Right now, the team Boston is getting known for the lyric "Less Than a Feeling." Case in point, they have now scored 31 runs in 4 games against Cleveland this year. They've got one win. This was a night of coming close and battling back, only to get walked off. 6-5, the final. Josh Lewin with you, and if you're feeling a little blue, a little bummed, I'm feeling you. More than a feeling. This was a game that set up as a potential comeback conquering, a win that could really lift your spirits and the ball club's confidence. It just was not to be. The Red Sox are 22nd in the majors in win percentage since the All-Star break. They're ahead of teams like the Orioles and Marlins and Padres, Mariners, White Sox, Rockies, Tigers. That's about it. And before the game, some news of note that wasn't great. Michael Chavis, who turned 24 on Sunday, certainly did not have a party at Fenway Park. He went 0-2, another strikeout on Sunday, closed the homestand 0-12. He's hitting 156 in August. Now he's on the IL. He's got a sprained left shoulder, and maybe that's been part of the ice horse's drop-off. But also, opposing pitchers are attacking Chavis just mercilessly, with fastballs right up at the top of the zone. And Chavis, it's almost like he's been so focused on trying to close that hole, he's created another, because now he's not hitting anything at the bottom of the zone. Rotation. Let's talk rotation news. No more Andrew Cashner to kick around for a while. He goes to the bullpen as a long man, says Alex Cora. Cashner's 6 starts as a Red Sox yielded an ERA of 8. His last 2 starts, 19 base runners allowed in a total of 7 innings, which is pretty close to a whip of 3. Dan Shaughnessy had the quip in the Boston Globe. He said, this guy makes John Wasdin look like Juan Marichal. The Sox are, they're 9-9 in games started by spot starters, guys like Velazquez and Josh Smith and Weber and Brian Johnson. But in Cashner starts, they're 1-5. And the whole point of bringing him in was to make sure that at least you get some stability before you had to go to spot starters. So Cashner just not delivering, goes out of the rotation for now. There are 6 days off in 19 days, beginning Thursday, which is remarkable. 5 full days off, and you know, kind of a day off on August 22nd, that makeup game where they maybe will only play for 10 minutes. But as much as the Red Sox struggles lately have fallen on the rotation, got to mention the offense has faded significantly this month, too. In August, the team has scored 4 runs or fewer, 9 out of 12 games. Devers is hitting .230, Moreland .225, Bogarts .240, Bradley .116 coming into the game on Monday. But this is a chance for the Sox to get out of a 3-11 rut over the last 2 weeks. Chance for Cleveland to get sole possession of first in the AL Central for the first time since April 19th. So the game opens up with a couple bullets off the bats of Betts and Devers, but 2 outs. And how can you not think, here we go again? That's kind of how this night would shape up. Bottom of the first, 2 quick outs from Eduardo Rodriguez, but then a walk and a Franmil Reyes two-run home run, the Franimal, as he was known in San Diego, a very docile Franimal to date in Cleveland. He was hitting 111 as an Indian, and the only reason he was playing, Yasiel Puig has picked these 3 days to drop the appeal of his suspension from the fight he got into his last day as a Cincinnati Red. The Twins were a little chapped he didn't do that over the weekend, because against the Twins, Puig just went 8-for-19 with a couple of home runs. Anyway, bottom of the third, another Cleveland home run, this time the resurgent Jose Ramirez, who was crap on a cracker through June. He's been Manny Ramirez, not Jose Ramirez, since the start of July. And by the way, doesn't anyone hit solo home runs against the Red Sox anymore? All the Angels did all weekend was hit 2- and 3-run home runs. And now, through three innings in Cleveland, you got a Reyes 2-run shot, a Ramirez 3-run shot. And with a spent Red Sox bullpen, you're not looking for anything other than a suck-it-up from Eddie Rodriguez. Got to keep grinding down 5-1. Sox do get one back in the top of the fourth. J.D. Martinez runs his hit streak to 12 with a homer of his own. Fourth jack in the last 5 days for J.D., who has certainly not been the issue of late. His OPS this month is over 1,300. After the home run, Benintendi walks, but Vasquez, who's been slumping, rolls into a double play. Moreland walks and does get doubled home by Brock Holt. 5-3, Jackie Bradley Jr. up, but Jackie's had a bad last 3 weeks. He grounds out to end the threat. Indians threaten in the bottom of the fourth. Rodriguez sneaks out of a jam. He pops up Carlos Santana. He strikes out the Franimal. Top of the fifth, you want more frustration? Betts lines to first. Devers walks. Bogarts gets him to third. Almost hit it out. Took it off the top of the left field wall, then gets thrown out trying to get to second base. Kind of thing that never seemed to happen last year. It's been happening a lot this year. J.D. Martinez can't save the inning, can't put on the cape and be a Rust Belt superhero. He grounds out to Jason Kipnis. It's still 5-3 halfway through. A scoreless sixth, and due to time constraints, we move ahead to further action. Top of the seventh, Tyler Clippard pitching for the Tribe. JBJ swinging it for the Sox. And there's a little Jackie Bradley left field action. Home run the other way. Jackie's got close to a .500 batting average when he puts it in play to left field. Most of his home runs go that way. But then Betts grounds out, Devers fouls out, Bogart strikes out again. All those guys in struggle mode this month. Darwin's and Hernandez on, trying to keep it 5-4. And Rodriguez, when he checked out, 6 innings, did give up 10 hits and 5 runs, but he made it through 6 innings. That's 19 straight starts of at least 5 innings anyway for Eddie, which these days is laudable. But now in the last 16 Red Sox games, Red Sox starters, 8.2 ERA, a whip of 1.8. This is a rotation. You know it. Paycheck $88 million to have this rotation. Right now it's the third worst ERA in Red Sox history from a rotation. And this team has been around since the flag only had 45 stars on it. Anyway, Hernandez on. Immediately, Ramirez rips a double to right. Roberto Perez sacrifices him to third. Sacrifice? Yeah. That's the thing. Did you know the Angels, the team the Sox just played, have 2 sacrifice bunts all year? And did you know the Astros have yet to intentionally walk even 1 batter all year? I'm just throwing that out there because that kind of stuff's remarkable to me. Modern day baseball. So with that insurance run at third, Hernandez bears down. He strikes out Kipnis. He gets Greg Allen a ground out. Nice work. On to the eighth. JD pounds one to right. Not quite enough to get out, but Benintendi does single, and maybe this is it. Nope, Vasquez strikes out on 3 pitches. Moreland against a veteran lefty, Oliver Perez. But aha, aha. Cora counters with the righty bat, Sam Travis, who promptly doubles to left. Benintendi held at third. In Cleveland, the site of Travis's first big league homer last year. Now this is a fairly important double. Sam's 18 for 58 with 9 extra base hits since his most recent call-up. Tying man at third, go-ahead man at second. It brings up the Brock star, who cranks one if it gets in a right at 6-5 Boston, but it's caught by Santana at first, and there you go. A festival of frustration continuing. Hernandez puts up another zero in the bottom of the eighth, so one last shot, top of the ninth, Indians closer Brad Hand, one-time Red Sox draft pick, and a guy rumored to maybe be coming back at some point this year, never did. And the long line of Cleveland closers, Doug Jones, Jose Mesa, Mike Jackson, Bob Wickman, Joe Borowski, Chris Perez. Brad Hand's right up there. He's a guy who's an all-star, 2.6 ERA, his save 29 of 32. Gets Bradley to ground out, but then top of the order, which, as of the end of July, was the best 1-2-3 in all of baseball, remember? Mookie draws a full count walk. He's still got his career high this year for on-base percentage and a pile of walks helping out. Devers now, sliders away to him, one right after another, but then on the one high fastball he sees, He swings at what would have been ball four. Another strikeout, another bat slammed down like it's part of a Midway arcade game and he's trying to win a stuffed bear. It leaves the whole night to Bogarts, and Hand, a part of the bullpen with the lowest ERA in the entire big leagues, Bogarts creams him. Sends another one right up against the fence. Tyler Naquin, who had robbed J.D. Martinez at that spot before. Two other fly balls that just missed to left. Finally, you get a well-hit ball that does what you wanted it to do. The ball gets beyond Naquin. It's a double. Ties the game. 5-5, and they intentionally walk J.D. to get to Benintendi. Xander steals third since he's not being held on. Opponents 0-for-18 this year against Hand with two outs and runners in scoring position, so odds not exactly stacked in Benny's favor. Lefty to lefty, Benny gives it a ride, but Naquin goes and gets this one on the warning track. So, to the bottom of the ninth we go. Marcus Walden, no hits allowed to the last 30 batters he's faced. So, of course, first batter he gets Monday. Well, yeah, you know. Carlos Santana puts the oi into Oye Como Va, a hanger belted into the left center bleachers, 26th of the year for Santana. He had been the hero the day before in Minnesota with a 10th inning slam. This time it's a 9th inning solo, and that's that. After the game, another game where the Sox score 5 runs but lose. Alex Cora to the microphones.
There were two at-bats there against Santana that kind of like changed the innings. You know, we have 2 outs, 0-2 count. He walks. Next hitter, he's a homer. He had an 0-2 again. He walks or he gets a hit, whatever. You know, he gets on base. The next guy gets on base, and then he made a bad pitch to Ramirez. You know, and we've been talking about it, limiting damage, and the way you limit damage is avoiding walks, especially when you're way ahead in the count. And in those two at bats, he didn't put him away, and you know, it cost us, you know, 5 runs.
What's the emotional swing like from the top of the ninth to the bottom?
Honestly. And it's tough, you know, because I do feel this is one of the best games we play in a while, as far as like be locked in and grinding at bats, and you know, that's a good baseball team, everybody knows. And you know, we were in a hole and we kept fighting. We find a way to tie the game, but then that happens, you know. And I mean, Waldy has been outstanding for us for a while. He just happened, he hung a breaking ball there, but it's one of those that, hey, you know. It really sucks, but at the same time, I think, you know, we did a lot of good things today that we haven't done in a while, so that's a positive.
You had workmen ready, you could only bring him in if you had a lead.
I mean, we were very, very limited, and, you know, he was going to come in to with the lead. It's just one of those, there was a lot of guys down, and, you know, to push the envelope that quick there, although, you know, it causes a game there, you know, but it's a decision that is a hard one because we were very limited, so.
Who else might you have had?
Not too many.
So you had decided before the game you were only going to use him in
that? Yeah, I mean, we tied the game. Waldy's throwing the ball well. He can give us, you know, he gets a double play right away. So that was good for us. So we felt like he was going to be able to go.
You said you felt this was the best game, one of the best games you've played in a while because of how you were locked in. What do you mean by locked in?
I mean, you saw the at-bats. We did a good job against the starter. We did a good job against the bullpen. You know, we used certain guys and they did the job. So, I mean, it felt good all around. Obviously, it's not cool that we lost, you know, and we need to win games. You know, there's no moral victories in the big leagues. But as far as, like, what I saw, you know, throughout the game, it was pretty good.
Now, it seemed like one pitcher here or there.
That's kind of how it's been. I mean, it's tough. Yeah, it's very tough. And, you know, we don't like losing, you know, actually. You know, it's a tough situation we're in right now. There's a few things that we did right today. There's others, like I talked earlier, you know, from 0-2 to 2-0. That's what happened in that first inning. You know, we're ahead of 2 count, 2 outs. And then all of a sudden they swing, you know, big swing is 2-0. So we just got to get, you know, better at that. But like I said, overall, honestly, you know, I hate losing. I don't like losing. I know where we at, but, you know, there were some positives here.
That said, when a team's in the position your team's in, how much emotion does a team like that take out of you?
We're about to find out tomorrow. But obviously, you saw their faces, you saw their reactions. You know, it's not easy. You know, you fight, and one swing is over. But I don't know. We're about to see tomorrow.
All right, thanks to the manager. So going forward, Sale against Clevinger Tuesday night. Sale coming off one of his better efforts all year. Our friends at Boston Sports Info unearthed this tasty nugget after his start last Thursday. 8 or more innings, 2 hits or fewer, no runs and 13 strikeouts, and doing that in fewer than 100 pitches. Number of times that's been done in the last 100 years is 1. Sale against the Angels last time out. Still, that was only his 6th win all year. ERA is in the mid-4s. Clevinger for Cleveland, pitching for a team that's now won 27 of 36. And he is 7-2, 3.02, 3 runs allowed or less in each of his last 7 starts. All right, some off-topic news for you. The 2020 schedule came out, and maybe that's appropriate, just when you're ready to kind of maybe turn the page on 2019, we get to look forward to 2020. The season's going to open March 26th on a Thursday in Canada. I know they'll play it indoors, but man, bring a coat. You get 4 to open in Toronto, 3 in Baltimore before you come home and get a Thursday, April 2nd opener against the Chicago White Sox is what we're looking at. And you get, the West Coast road trip out of the way early, Seattle and Oakland. Some other highlights from the schedule, I suppose. You've got Houston's weekend, once again in the middle of May. It'll be Memorial Day weekend, actually. And you get the Yankees coming in for the first time, anyway, what would be Father's Day weekend, June 12, 13, 14. We'll see the Braves for a couple games. The Cardinals are coming in. That's kind of neat. June 26, 27, 28, that's a weekend. More Yankees at the end of July, a 4-game series. The Cincinnati Reds are coming in, and actually the Sox will go there too. They'll play in Cincinnati in September. The Reds are coming in mid-August. A 4th of July spent in Pittsburgh, of all places, and the season's going to end with home games. It'll be Toronto and Baltimore to close things out. This will be the second straight season. The season ends with 3 home games against the Baltimore Orioles. So if you were thinking about making plans for 2020, go ahead, rewind what I just said, and there you have it. Hey, let's end on a high note, restore our faith in humanity a bit. Just want to tell you about a couple things here. Eduardo Rodriguez did a really nice thing that I think you should know about, because when a team of Little League kids, 8 to 10-year-old kids from Maracaibo, Venezuela, qualified for the Latin America Championship Tournament in Mexico, we didn't know this, but E-Rod is the guy that paid the airfare so the team could actually get there. And that cost him a pretty good amount of money, but he helped some kids make some history, make some memories, and that's very cool that E-Rod did that. Another thing I want to let you know about, something you might want to peek at, on August 24th at 10:30 in the morning, it'll air locally on Channel 44 in Boston, the Malden, Mass. District 12 Challenger team is going to Williamsport to represent the Challenger Division at the annual Challenger game at the Little League World Series. And that's a really neat thing for those kids, allowing children with physical and intellectual challenges to play some baseball. Malden native Marie Shea founded that Challenger League about a dozen years ago now. She was named the Red Sox Foundation's 2015 Little League Volunteer of the Year. And we talked to her about how cool all this is for these special kids.
Hearing that, for us to be able to see, it's just so heartwarming to watch it and just gives you the goosebumps. I've been saying for the past few years that we're going to go play that game one day. And so I applied, and before we knew it, we got the letter saying that we were chosen. And when I opened that letter, I just cried. It was just like so overwhelming to see that we're actually really going. This is such an honor, and we are so proud to be the first team to represent Massachusetts.
Thanks to Marie Shea for everything she does, and very best of luck to Malden, Mass. And the District 12 Challenger team. Great opportunity for those kids for sure. And with that, what was a great opportunity for the Red Sox, wasted on a Monday night in Cleveland, which actually sounds pretty good. Let's go get wasted on a Monday night in Cleveland, because the Red Sox are now just 3 games over 500, and that playoff picture getting fuzzier and blurrier with every passing day. Chin up. Talk soon. I'm Josh. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.